I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Mraz. Today's show was unlimited with great moments, laughs, and good takes. Here is the best of today's show.
But to start this morning, Alex Smith retires after a very successful NFL career, 16 seasons in the NFL, the number one draft pick of the 05 draft. Alex Smith played for the Niners, for the Chiefs, and then for Washington. But yesterday, he decided to hang up the cleats to call it quits. Alex Smith is going to retire after that 16-year career. Now, you might be surprised to learn that Alex Smith was a three-time Pro Bowl quarterback. Just to put that in perspective for the Julian Edelman people, Edelman, zero Pro Bowls. Alex Smith, three. I'll just leave that here for the Hall of Fame debate surrounding Julian Edelman. But three-time Pro Bowler, 1 year led the league in passer rating as well, was the NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and was on the precipice of a Super Bowl. In 2011, had the Niners in the NFC Championship game at home and seemed right there on the edge of pushing that squad into the Super Bowl. But Eli Manning and the New York Giants just a little bit better on that day in overtime. A couple of fumbles by his running backs led to the win for the Giants. And Alex Smith was left at the altar. The next year was when Colin Kaepernick took over and the Niners ended up getting to the Super Bowl. He ended up heading to Kansas City after his San Francisco days. And in Kansas City, again, playoffs almost every year, but not quite good enough to get to a Super Bowl. And then in Washington had the hellacious injury and the reconstruction of his leg to come back last year and miraculously play again in the NFL. And so after this 16-year career, it's not going to end up in any Pro Football Hall of Fame, and it's not going to end up in the Ring of Honor of any of the three teams that he played for. But Smith's career is better than you remember it. How should we remember it? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
He's just a heck of a person. Had a great career. Played a number, so many years here with different teams, and everywhere he went, he made him better. I texted him a while back. If he gets into coaching, I get first dibs on him.
See, with the injury that he had, to be able to come back and lead his team into the playoffs, it shows the type of man that he is, the type of team player that he is, and I'm just grateful for the time that I had with him that really developed me to be the quarterback that I am today.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Well, that was Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And so I think it's important to piece together all of Alex Smith's career and what he should be remembered for. Number one, what I think is going to be the bullet is his comeback. That's what I think is going to end up being what we remember him most for. It happened at the end of his career, so it's the most recent. But it also is the most amazing part of his career and the most admirable part of his career. And we all could see just what a crazy, incredible, inspirational story that was. And so there was no expectations on Alex Smith anymore. It wasn't about what he wasn't doing or what they weren't accomplishing. It was about what he was doing. And I think that will end up being, when you say 20 years from now, remember Alex Smith, I think the first thing people will think about is, yeah, remember that incredible injury and his comeback from that? That devastating injury where he nearly lost his leg and almost his life and came back to play football? That's what I think you will remember most. And that's an important reason to remember a player, because it takes resiliency and hard work and defiance in the face of being told you're not going to come back and play football anymore. So that's the big thing. I think the second thing is that Alex Smith was a really good quarterback for a really long time, but when he had to step aside, he did so without bickering. He did so in San Francisco for Kaepernick. He did so for Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes is going to end up going down in history as one of the best quarterbacks of his generation, perhaps one of the best quarterbacks ever. We'll see. But certainly for the last 3 years and for the next 7 years, Mahomes is going to be one of the best players in this league. And Alex Smith quietly and respectfully exited stage right and taught Patrick Mahomes and tutored Patrick Mahomes and helped teach Mahomes how to be a professional. And who knows, there's no tangible way to quantify that. Who knows how much of Mahomes' success is due to Smith, but there's some. There's got to be some of it, even if it's 1%. A part of Mahomes' success gets credited to the way that Alex Smith went about his business and helped mentor Patrick Mahomes. So I think that's the second part. I think the third part is Alex Smith was drafted number one overall and will always be remembered, unfortunately, for being taken over Aaron Rodgers. That was the draft that Rodgers slid all the way to the 20s to the Green Bay Packers, and the Niners selected Alex Smith number one overall. It happened to be one of those weird drafts where 16 years ago, the second best quarterback in the draft didn't go until the 20s. That would never happen again. Aaron Rodgers is never slipping into the 20s. Today, even if he wasn't very high on many teams' draft boards, the second best quarterback in the league is going to go into the top 10, the second best quarterback in the draft. Smith didn't live up to lofty number one overall expectations, didn't live up to being better than Aaron Rodgers, and for the first 5 years in San Francisco was pretty bad. Was pretty bad for some pretty rough clubs. Now, that's not all to say that it's his fault, because before Jim Harbaugh, it was a stink fest. Worse, it was a suck fest in San Francisco. But in terms of number one overall picks, Peyton Manning, maybe the greatest. John Elway, maybe the greatest. In terms of number one overall picks, those two guys at quarterback, far and away, the greatest ever to do it. Then you'd put in the Troy Aikmans of the world, also a Hall of Famer. Not quite at that level, but again, Hall of Famer number one pick overall. Then you'd put the Drew Bledsoes and Cam Newtons in there. Number one overall picks, Super Bowl appearances, didn't win a Super Bowl as a starter, but really good careers for the teams that drafted them. Eli Manning, also your number one pick that had a great career, a couple of rings. Then you get into the Carson Palmers and Matthew Staffords, and Sam Bradfords, and Jared Goff's as good careers, not great careers. Andrew Luck had what was amounting to a great career cut short by injury. And I would say Alex Smith is somewhere in that pile, where it's not a Hall of Fame career, it's not a no-brainer, what a great pick. It is a good career, somewhat good for the team that drafted him, but ultimately the longevity and other pieces of his resume are going to factor into why he was valuable. But in terms of stats, there are some interesting stats that are associated with Alex Smith. He is one of the only players ever to throw for 35,000 yards and rush for 2,500. That's Elway, Rodgers, Tarkenton, McNabb, and Alex Smith. Also in terms of passing touchdowns from number one overall picks, Peyton, Eli, Elway, Palmer, Vinny Testaverde, Stafford, Bledsoe, Terry Bradshaw, and then Alex Smith at number nine. Okay, so top 10. Completion, somewhat of the same thing. Eighth all time in terms of number one overall picks. Passing yards, eighth all time in terms of number one overall picks. Completion percentage, number three all time in terms of number one overall picks. And passer rating, number six. Bradshaw obviously is in the conversation for greatest number one overall quarterbacks as well. He wins four Super Bowls with his drafted team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this is what we're talking about. You know, this kind of list of, for Smith, not great, but good, and probably better than we remember, but a guy that is going to be defined to me by work ethic and commitment and professionalism are the stalwarts of the benchmarks of Alex Smith's 16-year career. He retires yesterday. Steph Curry is just out of his mind right now. He is absolutely out of his mind. It is 11 straight games of 30 or more points. 11 straight games of 30 or more points. And last night against the Sixers, who could be the number one seed of the Eastern Conference playoffs when we roll around to that, against the Sixers, one of the best teams in basketball, he drops 49 points. 49. And Wills, again, a Warriors team that kind of has no business beating the best team to the NBA to a victory as the Warriors win 107-96. This is only because of Steph's greatness. This is only because of what Steph is doing that the Warriors are able to do things like that. And Steph has made it a one-man show to lift a mediocre franchise and make them relevant. He has been sensational, scintillating. 30 or more points in 11 straight games. 49 points last night at a win over one of the best teams in basketball. And he now has an absolutely insane 21 games all-time with 10 or more three-pointers. Double-digit three-pointers. This is the sixth time this season he's done it. The sixth time this season he's had 10 or more three-pointers. 10 or more three-pointers this season, six times. He is out of his mind. He's playing even incredible basketball for him. And it is very funny that about 2 weeks ago, I questioned, well, why are the Warriors this bad when you have Steph Curry on the floor for most of the season? I realized that he did miss time with a tailbone injury. But since I said that, Steph Curry has just been out of his gourd. And it's amazing. Curry is now averaging, in April, 40 points a game. 40 points a game. And for Curry, how about this? As I said, his career games with 10 or more three-pointers. Number two on the list is Klay Thompson with five. He has five games of 10 or more three-pointers. Steph has 21 of them. So it's becoming Wayne Gretzky in terms of three-pointers. Steph has 21 games of double-digit three-pointers, and number two on the list is Klay Thompson with five. Bravo, Steph Curry, making an unwatchable Warriors team for much of the season very, very watchable right now and single-handedly dragging that franchise to games and to wins they don't deserve being in or winning. Just amazing.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Okay, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing my neighbors that don't take their dandelion problem as serious as I do. We have major, major dandelions all up and down this neighborhood, so much so that I have now invested in what amounts to be like a pogo stick dandelion picker where it digs into the ground, pulls out the root. And I have neighbors all around me.
What's the investment on that? How much is the investment on
$25. $25. Because the only way to really kill a dandelion, for those who don't know, maybe don't have them, they are these weeds that become yellow flowers. People might think they're nice. They're not. The only way to do it is to actually get the root out, have fertilizers constantly in there. But the problem is they pollinate within 3 weeks, and within 4 weeks you get them. So, and the way they pollinate? Simply by the wind blowing other dandelions your way. So my other neighbors aren't taking care of their problem. Yesterday alone, I counted, I picked 96 dandelion roots out of the ground over the course of 2 hours. 96 were in two bags full. And guess what? I just looked outside. I have another easy 30 on my front lawn that weren't there yesterday while dandelions are popping up everywhere. It's a war I can't win if my neighbors aren't in this together because they're just blowing all over my lawn. I can't take it. Take care of your property. Enough already. Trash.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Dandelions seem pretty benign. They seem kind of cute for Taylor to go out and pick and to blow when they dry out. What's wrong with having dandelions on your lawn?
They multiply so quickly. If you don't pick them, the wind just shifts and blows seeds so quick. You want your lawn to look luscious and green. You don't want it just being a yellow flower field with not real flowers. Then bees are everywhere. They're a bad weed. They're a bad weed because they're disguised as a nice weed.
You know, bees are good, though, for the environment. We need more bees.
Great. Let them go elsewhere so they're not stinging me as I cut the lawn. No. Get them out.
Okay. Mraz is dandelion sheriff Bayshore.
Can't take it.
Get him out.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I'm trashing the pandemic for many reasons, one of which I was not able to see the Wizard of Watch DA in person for about a year, and today he is back in studio. And it is joyous because I get to see his long locks and his new hairdo, and he looks like our Lord and Savior. So welcome back, Cap. I'm trashing the pandemic.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
So on a good day, on a happy day, you're actually still trashing the pandemic that kept Cap away from you.
That's right. I mean, I wish he was back here a year ago, like everybody, but now I get to see his long locks, and he's back in studio, and I feel like there's civilization again.
So, Pete, it's interesting. We have not seen Cap in person. This is the first image. It's like seeing, you know, the first images of the moon 70 years ago or so. What have you witnessed from Cap? Because he has told us he has not cut his hair. Me and Mraz saw him on Zoom, but that was the only thing. What does he look like in person? He says he hasn't cut his hair in a year since pandemic started.
Well, as I was getting the audio ready today for the show, some person walked up to me, and I had no idea who it was. And then it turned out it was Kaplan. His hair is very long. I felt like saying a couple prayers. He looks like Jesus.
And just like Jesus, he can let there be light. Now your studio looks light. It looks well lit. Suddenly we can see you.
We're making progress.
He's gonna turn one of the sodas in the soda machine into wine after the show. Wait till you see what he does.
Oh, that's great. I'll take it.
Schwartz didn't steal them all first.
It's amazing, you know. The TriCaster goes down, he waves his hand, suddenly the TriCaster works again within the commercial break. He just the Jesus figure of CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
I'm going to trash stickers on merchandise, DA. Stickers that refuse to come off said merchandise. It's spring, it's Little League season, it's soccer season around here, a bunch of new equipment for the kids, and everything's got a sticker on it, a bat, a helmet that's got to come off. But as you know, they never come off. They leave the backing on there, and I've got to get every last bit of that sticker off every single little thing. So I have wasted so much time in the last week or so with my fingernail, with little tools, scraping this stuff off. It's 2021. How do we not have a sticker that stays on in the store so I can read the information on it, but then when I'm home and I've bought this thing, it comes off nice and easy, and whatever I just bought looks nice and clean. But no, it can't be that way still, so get them out.
Trash them.
Stinky debris.
Have you tried rubbing alcohol?
I tried, my wife had some kind of lemon oil thing that did help, but again, it's not a complete solve of the problem. You still have to scrub and scrape to get these things off no matter what.
How about Katie's nail polish remover?
I have not tried that.
Ask her for a little dab of that. A little dab will do you. Put that on a little piece of tissue or a paper napkin, paper towel, and just see if that works, because the rubbing alcohol and the nail polish remover have the same active ingredient, and it's pretty good in getting sticky stuff off.
Look at you, thankful. Thank you. I'm very thankful for your help.
It's my QVC trading because the Verba Bell has QVC on quite a bit. I'm trashing the hurry up and wait people. You know, it's always something where you got to get your information in, get your documents in. You got to make sure you make this call, send this email, and then it's only to wait longer. We've got some documents we had to send along for somebody to come to the house and do something. And so they're like, you got to get your documents in. You got to upload this. We need proof of that. Make sure you have this, blah, 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 blah. And they're hounding me up my butt. Did you get this in? We can't do anything till you get this in. We can't approve this till you get it in. Blah, blah, blah. Finally get it all in. And I'm like, okay, you guys got it all. I stayed up late. I went through all of our catalogs of documents. I went into the attic, got everything, got it to do this. Hurry up, do this. And then they get it and they're like, and now you have to wait. Why weren't you working on this before I got the documents? And well, we couldn't until we could actually get the green light stamp from all your documents. I mean, screw you. I did my part. I expect a little quicker than, and now you just sit on your thumb and wait for 3 weeks. Trash them.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Bad, Mraz.
Very, very much around the butt area of you, too. That's not a good scene.
I think that was three such references if you're scoring at home.
Yeah. Spot on trash, though, DA. You're so right. You never get answers out of them, either.
Chris tweets, I'm trashing the 57 Pepto commercials I had to endure during my sports watch this weekend. If I have to hear the word diarrhea one more time, I'm going to have to do it too. And why do they have to celebrate the word? Get it out.
Diarrhea.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Captain Johnny tweets, DA, I'm sad to say I've got to trash you due to your penchant for interrupting the guy with the big arms in the middle of his updates. Two times in a row yesterday in hour number two. Can you just wait until he finishes the sentence before blurting out something? Hashtag, you're a rude boy. Trash
that
me.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
Diarrhea.
Rude boy. DA, known as rude boy to many. You know, it's funny. The bosses actually have set up the updates so that we are encouraged to interrupt AB. And I don't also feel comfortable doing that all the time, especially early. But they want the conversation. They want Bogues' update to be part of our convo. And so to make that happen, I have to interrupt Bogues. So it's a little, it's harder because we're not in the same area, but it would still probably happen anyway. But I agree. I don't know what the professional way of doing that is if I want to talk about something that you are talking about, but we are encouraged to do so by the bosses, Bogues.
Yeah, you do it fine. It does not bother me at all. It bothers listeners, though, a strange amount, and I appreciate their defending me and sticking up for my updates, but I'm okay with it, so you guys can be okay with it, too.
And it's supposed to be the way the show works, where the update is a topic-generating type of segment, but I get it. People don't like interruptions, so I don't know how to correct that without sounding like I'm not even listening to your updates. When we come back here on the DA Show, are the Yankees a poorly built squad? I want to hear from David Sampson, longtime Marlins executive, longtime president of the Marlins, now after the new regime with Derek Jeter, etc., has become a media member and is a baseball analyst for CBSSports.com and the host of Nothing Personal with David Sampson, a podcast. And so he was talking about the Yankees starting out of the gate going 5-10. That is the worst record in the American League, the second worst record overall in Major League Baseball behind only the Colorado Rockies, who sold off their best player, Nolan Arenado, in the offseason. So let's start here with David Sampson, who believes that this team right now just is a poorly built roster that is banking on players to be what they were 3 or 4 years ago. Here's Sampson.
I'd take a call from the owner, and I would say, break them up, trade them all, fire them all. See if it happens. Do you think Hal Steinbrenner knew when the pitching rotation was being put together with Gerrit Cole and the four people who had a potential to be good but had really had no chance to be good because they were hoping for a miracle? Bud Selig always used to tell us, if you sign a player thinking that 3 years ago his performance is going to inform what this year's performance is, and you're just going to dismiss it as having an off year or two, then you deserve every loss and you deserve every dollar you waste.
Whoa. Basically saying Hal Steinbrenner should have seen when Brian Cashman was spending money on guys that haven't been good in 3 years, banking on them getting back to being good. You deserve every loss. What Bud Selig used to say, don't overspend on guys that were good. If you do, you deserve every loss. Do the Yankees deserve every loss? Sampson said if he was the president of this team, he'd go to the owner and say, fire them all. Get rid of these guys. More from David Sampson on what the optimism level is like amongst Yankee fans.
People are giving up on the Yankees. Remember our wait to see that Brian Cashman was not going to make it past 2021? Although I did pick the Yankees to go to the World Series. So can both of those be right?
People are giving up on the Yankees. People are, quote, giving up on the Yankees. It is April 20th. People are giving up on the Yankees.
People are giving up on the Yankees.
People are giving up. 5-10. Last place, American League. 15 games into the season. People are giving up. And Sampson admitted he picked them to go to the World Series. Sampson would go on to say that they're playing with no pride. They're playing like a bunch of nobodies. He said, I love you, Aaron Boone, but you have to get more out of this team with this payroll. Sampson says he would ask the team, I've got a question for you. He said he would assemble the team meeting, and say, do you care? Do you have any pride in your defense? Do you have any pride in coming to the park every day and putting on pinstripes? People are giving up on the Yankees. Is it too early to give up on the Yankees after just 15 games? After less than a tenth of the season has been played? Or is he right? Is this a fatally flawed team built on the hopes of a miracle that these guys turn back the clock 3 years ago and give you something that they really aren't anymore? Mraz, according to David Sampson, people are giving up on the Yankees. Now I can't. Okay, now I can hear Mraz.
This is as low as it gets, like compared to Dan Orlovsky telling people what it takes to be a great quarterback. Make up your mind, number one, Dave Sampson. Did they give bad contracts out, or should they be getting more out of these contracts? Because he went both ways there. Yeah, they shouldn't have signed Corey Kluber. I agree with that. Terrible. But you know what else is part of the Yankee problem right now, or why they had little flexibility to do other things with their roster if they really needed to tinker to be perfect? That they're paying Giancarlo Stanton all this money that hampered them over the luxury tax. Who gave Giancarlo Stanton that contract? David Sampson with the Marlins. He's part of the reason that the Yankees have bad contracts. It's because of the contracts he handed out. And now he's going to point a finger and say that the Yankees poorly constructed their roster? Hey, Bozo, part of the roster construction is because of you giving out that contract. Oh, what world are we living in? Wayne, take some accountability for yourself. You gave Giancarlo Stanton such a bad contract that the only team that could take it for nothing was the Yankees, who now can't afford to pay anybody else and is signing Corey Kluber. People have given up. They're 5 games under. They're 3.5 games back of a wild card. It's not even April 30th yet. It's April 20th. People have lost their mind. Have lost their mind. We're a month away from the NBA playoffs. We're burying the Yankees. They're 3.5 games out. David Sampson, you sucked as a GM. That's why you have this podcast. You tell me what it takes to be a constructor roster? I can't take it with all you Yankee haters anymore. It's ridiculous. Stop it! They're going to be fine! DJ LeMay's a hitting machine!
People are giving up on the Yankees.
Yeah, oh. But it's not David Sampson's fault the Yankees took Giancarlo Stanton's awful contract.
Fault? No, because anybody could have taken it, but somebody had to take the contract that he handed out because it was so terrible. Then he can't, 4 years later, talk about how the Yankees are counting on guys that were good 3 years ago and they shouldn't have these contracts on the books. He wrote the check to Giancarlo. That's a big part of the Yankee problems, is the man wrote the check and now is telling the Yankees they poorly constructed something that he, in essence, thought would be good, right? Like David Sampson, if he handed out that deal, thought Giancarlo would be great 4 years, right? Even if he was a Marlin still, like he thought he'd be good this year. So now you're blaming the Yankees, saying that their roster is counting on guys from 3 years ago? Outside of Corey Kluber, that who else is he talking about? It's an asinine statement. It is digging to try to have a little buzz and talk about good, juicy baseball in April by burying the Yankees now. Can we all just sniff the dandelions and understand that October is a long time from now and we all know the Yankees are going to be there? I mean, you guys are the poking. It doesn't stop. Relax. They're about to play the Braves without Acuna for the next two games, and they're playing nobody for 12 days after that. The Yankees are going to be in first place by May 15th. I mean, relax.
We trade them all. Fire them all.
We can't smell the dandelions because you picked them all.
Oh, man. This is what happens when you take away Bogus at the Plate as a podcast. You give David Sampson one, and suddenly he's got a forum to tell you what it takes with good contracts and bad contracts, so the guy can't get out of his own way with the Marlins.
He didn't build the Yankees roster, okay? So you can't blame him for Giancarlo Stanton. The Yankees decided to accept the contract. It's an awful deal. It'll always be an awful deal. They could have said no to Giancarlo Stanton. They said yes to it.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. You just said it was an awful deal, right? Who gave Giancarlo Stanton that deal? Who gave him that deal? Sampson. David Sampson gave him that deal. So is it not fair then to say David Sampson shouldn't be the one criticizing all the contracts on the Yankees' books and talking about how poorly constructed they are when he wrote the check for the biggest check on the team outside of Gerrit Cole? I mean, come on. Dan Orlovsky ran out of the back of the end zone. He's telling you what it takes to be a great franchise quarterback. This is the same thing. With all due respect, I know he's a CBS partner and everything like this. David Sampson can take a freaking hike. Take a hike. You're part of the reason we got to watch a guy strike out five times every night. Take a hike.
Well, what about how Sampson says, look, beyond Gerrit Cole, that rotation stinks. It's a miracle. It would take a miracle to assume that the four guys behind Gerrit Cole could do anything in that Yankees rotation.
Great point, David. But maybe if you took the time to understand what the Yankees have and how their roster is made up, instead of everybody throwing on those parachutes and coming into the Bronx and saying, look, the Yankees rotation stinks, you'd understand that the Yankees 1B ace is coming off Tommy John and will be back in July, and their other two best starters are currently at an alternate site because the Yankees are trying to limit their innings, and they'll be here for the stretch run at Davey Garcia and Domingo Germán. So, yeah, of course, yeah, I'm upset. The rotation stinks. They're running openers. I get all that. It's so stupid. They're trying to be the Rays. Totally, totally fair points. But don't talk about how the rotation is terrible and leave out the fact that basically their 2, 3, and 4 starters aren't here right now and will be here. It's dopish. It's not paying attention to what's going on.
But can the Yankees stay in a race until those guys come back? I mean, if they're 5-10 already, if they end up being 10-20, if this pace continues, I mean, they've lost to everybody in the division and they haven't even played the Red Sox yet.
By the way, I wish they did play the Red Sox because the Red Sox are fake fraud paper champs too, and that would probably help the Yankees get wins and the Red Sox would have losses. Yankees got to figure out a way to beat the Rays. They do. But stay at this pace, sure. Yeah, if the Yankees stay at this pace and finish 60-100 this year, yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs. That's the point. They're not going to stay at this pace. You know they're not going to stay at this pace. We all know they're not going to stay at this pace. It's fun now to kick them while they're down because this is the time to kick them while they're down. They're not going to stay at this pace. I just told you, May 15th, this team is going to be at or around first place in the AL East, maybe the best record in the American League, because now they're going to start to beefcake up on some really bad opponents and get some confidence back. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is just these guys fishing for something right now that's not there with the Yankees. All right, have some fun. They're playing bad baseball in April. Ooh, we'll see you in October.
People are giving up on the Yankees.
Who's giving up on them? Who's DA? bogus? Is that who's Sampson talking about?
I am.
Who gave up on him?
Pilati says he's given up on him.
Oh, stop, Pete. Go mow the lawn.
Well, okay, so Pete's given up on him. What's wrong with that?
Because he's a Met fan, of course. This is what people hate the Yankees. I get it, right? Like, I hate the Cowboys. People hate the Yankees. People hate Notre Dame. So when those teams struggle, it is fun to laugh at them and have a good old time, right? You hate the Lakers. They stink. We hate on the Celtics. We hate on the Patriots. When they stink, it's all fun. I get that that's part of the deal. Pete hates the Yankees because he grew up a Met fan. The Yankee fans made fun of him his whole life. You want to, at 5-10, you want to throw a parade that they stink? Fine, have fun. You gave up on them? You know damn well, come Labor Day, we're going to be sitting there going, man, September's not even fun. The Yankees have already locked up a playoff spot. And that's the joke of it. All of you guys burying them now, David Sampson himself, better be there at the beginning of September going, man, we really shouldn't have crushed the Yankees in April. But of course, you'll fade and talk about something else, and we won't pay attention to that. Everybody was wrong about the Yankees in April. And that's what bothers me more than anything. If you're going to be here now for the burial, you better be here for the revival.
Okay.
Trade them all. Fire them all.
I want
trade
this.
Trade them all.
I want this on record.
Sounds like a guy who ran the Marlins.
I want this on record. April 20th at 7:10 a.m. Eastern Time, Mraz said by May 15th, they'll have maybe the best record in baseball. That's what you just said. That they would be in first place and maybe the best record in baseball in less than a month from now. Are you ready to put your name on that?
I am ready to put my name on it. You know why? Because unlike David Sampson, I do my research and I look ahead at the Yankee schedule. And the Yankees are going to have big problems if they're playing like this up against their schedule over the next 3 weeks. The Yankees are about to go on a tear. And their best opponent just lost their best player for the next two nights. Yes, I pay attention. I see what's coming. I see the schedule ahead of them. I see the team they have. Yes, I'm ready to put my name to it because I don't just say wild things like David Sampson without paying attention to what's going on.
It sounds very piggy doodle dandy of you.
I'm here snorting around. I'll snort it all day long. May 15th. Piggy doodle dandy. I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. On May the 15th, the Yankees need to have one of the best records in baseball.
Good. Here I am. Give me the trough.
They're 5-10. 5-10, you've got no evidence that this team is going to be one of the best in baseball.
Yes, they do. The roster, the fact that they've been there the last couple of years, the fact that they're about to play some terrible teams.
Sampson says it's a broken roster, that the roster stinks.
Yeah, great. The roster stinks, yeah. That's why everybody was saying the Yankees had to sign DJ LeMahieu last year. That's why Gary Sanchez is saying, what's so bad about the roster? Yeah, they have some players that frustrate me. Aaron Hicks, Corey Kluber, I get it. The roster stinks? Oh, stop it. Stop it. If you knew anything about rosters being good, David Sampson, you wouldn't be doing a podcast right now. Get lost. And this is coming from somebody who does podcasts, all right? I understand what life comes to when you're doing podcasts.
Okay. It's on record. May the 15th, the Yankees will have one of the top three records in baseball. I think that would be a fair paraphrasing of what you said.
And if they do, I want everybody to do pig snorts on the air with me. By one, everybody's going to do their big pig snort. Everybody joins in a big pig snorting circus. A honk here and a honk there.
But if the Yankees don't have a top three record in baseball on May the 15th, you have to wear a piggy tail, okay? A little squirrely piggy tail. And Danielle and Taylor have to pull your piggy tail on the show on video.
This has taken a turn, but okay, sure.
How about the full costume?
You've got to wear a pig nose and a piggy tail, and when Taylor and Danielle pull your piggy tail, you've got to oink on May the 15th if the Yankees don't have a top three record in baseball.
All right. Seems like a weird fetish to want to watch, but okay.
I just want Piggy Doodle Dandy to be put in his place, making these bold proclamations for a 5-10 team, that a team that's 500, worst record in the American League, less than a month from now, will have one of the top three records in baseball. I want the pig to be walked to not a slaughterhouse, that's a little too...
Yeah, it's graphic.
...visceral and violent, but I want that pig to be taunted by having his tail pulled by Taylor and Danielle as he wins.
I don't know how we got here, but okay, sure, I'm in. This seems like a very on-the-fly payoff, but I'm in.
People are giving up on the Yankees.
They're giving up, Mraz! Time to give up the ship on the Yankees.
What a nerd. Loser. David Sampson, loser.
Okay, now we have something to look forward to, May the 15th. Michael tweets, I'm untrashing the Red Sox City Collection jersey. I got mine the other day, and it's actually pretty cool in person. That's the first untrash I think we've ever had in 8+ years doing this show. That would be the light blue and yellow Red Sox City Edition. I admire it because it's an ode to the Boston Marathon. That's always a really cool, honorable thing. And the Boston Marathon obviously carries so much emotion and weight because of the bombing a couple of years ago and the recovery on that. And now because they don't actually have the Boston Marathon these last 2 years and it's virtual. But I still think the colors stink. I mean, they're great for UCLA. They're just not great for the Boston Red Sox. Jeremy tweets, I'm trashing Mother Nature this morning. It was 73 yesterday. Now I could get snow with a low of 26 tonight. Make up your damn mind. Get it out. Hashtag girlfriend.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
You'll always get me with a girlfriend.
Girlfriend!
Cigar City Capo tweets, I'm trashing Jim Harbaugh for benching Alex Smith in 2012. I'm confident they would have won the Super Bowl against his brother with Alex Smith at quarterback. Harbaugh has been cursed ever since. Trash him!
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
Charles tweets, I'm trashing my Bush beer drinking redneck neighbor that pees off of his porch about 9:30 every night. Beam me up, DA.
That's garbage, and we're not talking about the band.
Well, that's a hell of a 9:30 alarm. I'd rather just set it on my iPhone, but instead, you got your neighbor watering the plants off the porch every night at 9:30 after a case of Bush beer. I always love Bush commercials. It's always like a case of Bush in a river. It's always a roaring river, waters pouring over it, and then it's that, I don't know who the voice of Bush beer is, but it's always Bush beer. Standing by with our headline of this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues never be caught dead with a Bush beer, even in college. Probably always a higher quality brew.
Right, yeah, Bogues? We highbrowed it. It was Bud Light in college. We were too good for Bush.
Yeah. You ever do a Keystone Light case? We used to do Stones. That was pretty low.
I'm sure I have, but I don't remember it, thankfully.
Rolling Rock?
Rolling Rock,
yeah.
For sure.
Rolling Rock, you can get at a good discount, cheap rate. When you're in college, you definitely are looking for the cheapest case of beer humanly possible, no matter what. Natty Light? We've all done a case or a keg of Natty Light, I'm sure.
PBR is
just
now,
me? Oh, PBR, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, still PBR is now like a hipster beer. Now it's
Which
cool
is
to
weird,
drink PBR.
Yeah. It's cool to drink PBR now, so kept up with it.
You always get a good case of Bush Light around, like, where hunting and fishing goes on. I always see, like, Bush cans, you know, right at the truck stop right outside of a popular hunting place or a fishing hole. They got a case of Bush when they went out bass fishing.
It's just like you're not drinking Bush for enjoying the drink. Like, that, you're pounding them quickly to not taste it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And now Keystone is trying to rebrand. It's just Stones. Yeah, get yourself a case of Stones. Stone Lights.
I must have missed that one.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm pretty well connected to the cheap discount beer game, I guess. That's where
up
I thrive.
In the woods. Up in the woods at the DA's getting.
Cut rate beer is my specialty. All right, Bogues, where do we begin?
We begin with Steph Curry still doing ridiculous things.
Back to Curry, checks the clock, seven to shoot. Working on George Hill to logo, drifts right, comes back left. Step back three for Steph, and it's money! Cold, hard cash!
Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Curry with 49 in a 107-96 Warrior win in Philly. That's 11 consecutive games with 30 or more points. The longest such stretch ever by anyone 33 or older. And it's his fifth 40-point game of the month. Steve Kerr has nothing left to say.
I don't know what else to say. You know, you guys ask me after every game what I think of Steph and his performance, and it's whatever I said last game, just use that.
Tonight. The Warriors are a game behind the Grizzlies for eighth in the West. Memphis came up short in double OT in Denver, 139-137. Nikola Jokic, 47 points, 15 rebounds, and 8 assists. The Suns got a 128-127 win in OT in Milwaukee on a Devin Booker free throw with 3/10 of a second left. The Jazz down the Lakers, 111-97. The Celtics losing at home to the Bulls, 102-96. And the Thunder keep losing 11 in a row, a 119-107 final in Washington. The Cardinals went deep five times in a 12-5 win in Washington. The Brewers 3-1 winners in San Diego, and the Giants won in Philly 2-0. The Mariners held off the Dodgers 4-3, the Rays 4, the Royals 1, and the Rangers won in Anaheim 6-4. An arrest warrant has been issued for new Seahawks defensive end Alden Smith. He allegedly choked someone unconscious during a dispute at a New Orleans area coffee house Saturday. The incident may be on surveillance video. NHL history last night in Vegas. Sharks forward Patrick Marleau passing Gordie Howe for the most games played in league history. Marleau got emotional postgame on NBC Sports California when asked why he keeps playing.
I just love it.
Good night, Vegas.
There's nothing else like it.
As DA pointed out last hour, Gordie Howe did play 400-plus other games in the WHA, so this is an NHL record. One other insane Marleau factoid here. He has played with or against 37% of all of the players who have ever skated in the NHL. How insane is that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's played against 37 of all players ever?
Yeah. He's played long enough and rosters got big enough in his career that there's been, according to the NHL, 8,100 players have played at least a game in the NHL, and he's been on the ice with over 3,000 of them. So it's 37% of the entire historical league population he has been on the ice
with. That is wild. And of course, I guess because the league is larger now than it was ever before because of expansion as well, there's more players to play against versus 1972. But still, to have almost played against 40% of every hockey player ever is kind of a mind-blowing thing to wrap your head around.
Incredible motion.
Now, his team did lose last night, 3-2 in a shootout in Vegas. And now, why don't we get stunned?
Yeah! We'll get there.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I don't think I can blame this one on Florida, but it happened in Florida. A restored World War II era dive bomber made an emergency landing at the beach on Saturday. The plane, a TBM Avenger, was part of the Cocoa Beach Air Show. It only rejoined the show last year after an extensive rehab, and now mid-flight, its engine cut out. The pilot expertly got the plane down safely in the water. He was fine. Got out just fine, but he was just feet offshore, so this could have been a travesty. He's coming down. It looks like he's almost skimming the heads of swimmers in the ocean as he's about to crash land. Now, since no one got hurt, I can say this. I would love to have been at the beach when something like this happened. This, like a beached whale, something crazy like that. I need to be at the beach when something newsworthy happens during my life. So I'm kind of jealous of these people seeing this plane come screeching down and crashing into the ocean right in front of them.
This is so perfectly Florida. It is so on brand.
There's an air show. People come out to the beach to watch it. They've restored a World War II jet. They've spent years and money, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to get this thing back up. It's the big part of the show. Here comes the World War II fighter jet. Here it comes low. Whoa, a little too low. Whoa, why is this guy so low? And crashes into the water. Now the engine soaked, the cockpit soaked, and now they've got a haul. Much of the horror and dismay of all the onlookers. Oh my God, that guy just crashed into the water. Is he okay? Oh, we've ruined the World War II biplane. Perfect. Happy Florida Air Show, everybody.
That's unbelievable. To Bogus's point, though, that is something, if you know everybody's safe, you wish you could see in person. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the beach, something like that, and the next day will be whale popped up on the beach I was at the day before.
Yeah.
Manatees. And you never get to experience that. If you're on the beach for an air show and everybody survives, what's better than a survival air crash to witness in person?
Yeah, the only thing that I've ever seen to the beach which was exciting was a plane flying over with like a sign that made fun of somebody in town or something like that. You know, you're like, whoa, that's kind of a risque type of sign. Whoa, somebody's got it out for that guy. You know, nothing fun ever happens at the beach. You're right. It's funny to watch the video, too, because after this guy crash lands, there's people in their bathing suits, like, going out to get him because he's so close to shore. They're walking out. Hey, man, do you need any help? He's just sitting on top of the cockpit. No, I'm fine. It's only, like, 3 feet of water. I can just walk back. I know I'm in clothes, but, you know, I'll just walk right back. Like, what is the woman in her bathing suit or two-piece going to do when she gets out to the World War II fighter jet that crashed into the water? Do you need any help, sir? I can't carry you. I've got no food on me. I don't know how to fix this plane. What can I do? Can I text my husband? This is the best. Okay, that is done to a news.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with Ravens GM Eric DaCosta on discussions with Lamar Jackson about a contract extension.
You know, that's ongoing. That's definitely a fluid thing. You know, Lamar and I have had a discussion about that. You know, I think it's important to us and it's important to him. I think Lamar is obviously a very patient guy. He wants to be the best he can be. He wants this team to be the best it can be, and he wants to win very badly. So we're aligned that way. I'm confident that we'll continue to discuss this, and I think at some point, hopefully, we'll have some good news for everybody.
I think it's less than a 5% chance that Lamar Jackson plays for anybody else besides the Ravens for the foreseeable future. Doesn't mean he's going to end his career there, but this extension is going to get done. The Cowboys got the extension done with Dak. The Seahawks have always paid up for Russell Wilson. The Chiefs paid up for Patrick Mahomes. And believe me, the Ravens are going to pay for Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson's going to stay, and that's just the way it's going to be. Fred Van Vliet is not happy with this NBA season. He says it's been a terrible year. Here's Van Vliet.
There's certainly ups and downs to this thing, more than I've ever experienced in my life. To be honest, this is probably the most impure year of basketball I've ever been a part of, just from the whole league and, you know, rushing the season back. It's pretty much all about business this year on every level, and it's hard to hide it now. You know what I'm saying? The NBA is a great balance of like the pure love and joy of one of the best sports in the world mixed with a billion-dollar industry. And I think this year the industry side is taking the precedence over some of the love and the joy. But there's good days and bad days. I've been saying that all year. And dedicating yourself to the craft, to your work, to your teammates, and allowing yourself to be human and take some of those good and bad days. But it's definitely been a trying year for sure, ups and downs all across the board.
I think that's an honest assessment, and I think that happens with almost anything in life that you're really passionate about. If you pursue it as a career, eventually it becomes a business. at some point in time. And you could still have a love of it, but basketball or football or sports in general, if you make it that far, eventually it does become a business. It can't just be for the love of the game. There has to be a business component about it. If you're in sports media, like myself, I mean, yeah, this is a love and a passion that I've had for a long time since I was a teenager, but there is a business aspect to it, and I get that. I understand that. And I think for anybody that does pursue something that they had a childhood love of that eventually grows into being their job, it does become commerce. It does become business. I mean, you could be an artist as a kid and love finger painting and coloring and drawing, and then you end up becoming a graphic designer or what have you, and suddenly that's a business. And that just is an honest assessment of just how things evolve when you are in love with something at an early age, and then it changes. And finally, this is a great little segment, little tidbit from the 07 NFL Draft on the NFL Network. And this is a Raiders fan fired up because his team's got Randy Moss and they just drafted their quarterback of the future.
Number one, baby. Yeah, I knew Al Davis was going to do it. He's the man. He's always been. He's always had the best way of calling the picks. He's the master of every year, all the time. J-Rock, he's the chosen one, baby. That's his nickname. How you gonna stop? No, I hope Keith Moss. Keith Moss, J-Rock to Moss, baby. How you gonna stop that? You can't. With Porter on the other side, with Rhodes in the backfield, ain't gonna happen. Thank you, Al Davis, for bringing us back. Raider Nation, lives forever.
Oh, that is so sad. That is maybe the most sad commentary ever at NFL draft history. Randy Moss will be traded the next day to the Patriots. That day they drafted Jamarcus Russell, number one overall. Russell to Moss never happened. Russell to anybody never happened. And here's a Raider fan. Imagine being a Raider fan, Mraz, in 2007 and saying or believing that Al Davis always masters the draft. You had a pretty good couple of decades where he was no longer master of the draft. Like, that ended in the early 80s. What are you watching by 2007 to believe that Al Davis always aces the draft?
I mean, that is just living in la-la land. It should be noted, a couple notes. The Raiders went 4-12 that year, D.A. Jamarcus Russell only started one game that season. Do you know who started the most games for the Raiders in 2007 following that draft, that quarterback?
Who knows?
Josh McCown.
Oh!
9 games for Josh McCown, 6 for Culpepper, 1 for Russell. Yeah, the Raiders were really back.
Oh, God. Oh.
What a bad team.
Raiders fans have been put through such the ringer that you can understand why they're so angry all the time. I mean, they dealt with 15 bad years of Al Davis. Only the 3 good years where John Gruden was there back in the early 2000s. And then they went through another, even after Al Davis died, another run of bad football. And now they're hoping that that John Gruden 2.0 is kind of good. And he's kind of not. He's fine, but no wonder they're so angry. And then they lose the team to Las Vegas, even better.
Oh.
Raider Nation, lose forever.
Oh, ooh, what boy. A bad offense.
Bad. And that is your sound check. Okay, so it's also a Trash Tuesday. DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. GR tweets, DA, for me, cats just have a look. That look says, if I were your size, I would kill you. Or as a dog, a big dog would just love you and lick you more. That said, I do have 2 cats and they're awesome. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes cats do have that look of, I will slaughter you in your sleep. Yeah, that's true.
Demons.
Ed tweets, I'm trashing you, D.A. Jeez, what's going on today? You sound like you didn't have a soul before you met the Bourbon Belle and her pets. Thank goodness for her. Trash me.
Household waste goes in this bin.
Okay. I liked kids, all right? Loved kids. Always loved kids. Didn't love cats and dogs, okay? Didn't love pets. Sue me, all right?
Didn't have a soul.
No soul.
I mean,
you
did say
what kind of...
I was going to say, D.A. did hire me as a producer talking about a charity case, so he definitely had some sort of soul.
Yeah, but he did call himself a serial killer before the Bourbon Belle and Rosie, so you did kind of set the table for you being some kind of miscreant back in the past.
I worked with the Boys and Girls Club. I was a big brother and big brother's big sisters.
It's all for show.
I raised money for multiple hospitals, and I also hired Mraz. I mean, where does my charity end here, guys? Okay, so I got a picture from David D. that says, this is Dr. Kitty Werbenjanger Manser Jensen, and he's offended by being called a demon. And this is a nice, handsome-looking kitty who looks like he's in a kitty door or a mailbox or something. And his name is Dr. Kitty Werbenjager Jagerman Jensen. Werbenjagerman Jensen. Werben Jager? Werben Jagerbomb? Jager? Jagerman Jensen? It's a long name.
What happened to just naming your kid Spot or your cat Spot?
I mean, or Velcro and Zipper. I didn't realize that you had two cats named Velcro and Zipper.
That's right. Velcro was found on top of a 7-Eleven, scared. My mom brought him home.
Oh, really? Found him in a 7-Eleven?
Yeah, on top of the 7-Eleven, scared. Apparently there's some kids taunting it. My parents rolled up, I guess, to get coffee or whatever, and they took the cat home, and we already had Zipper, so they named him Velcro.
Wow! And was Velcro ever like a scaredy cat or maybe poisoned by these kids, like from an early age?
No, he got right in. Me and my sister, we were all young kids at the time. That's all we knew was the cats, and those two cats loved us. They were like two of the kids. They played with us. It was a whole thing, yeah. It was great.
See that? That's
Velcro
a great
and Zipper
story.
Would play knock hockey versus me. It was awesome.
Wow, so
and see, DA, this is the beginning of Lolly and Pop because everybody gets tandem names in the Mraz house.
Well, we're all S's, me and my sisters. We all start with S. It's a whole thing. There's a lot of themes that happen in my family.
Velcro and Zipper, a much more successful tandem than Jamarcus Russell and Randy Moss, actually. Andrew Bogish has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
We got headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. The Suns may or may not have gotten a break in the final second of overtime last night in Milwaukee.
Booker starts to make his way towards the basket, turns, spins, down to two. He's going to have to force up a fadeaway shot from the right baseline, and a whistle and a foul is called on the shot.
John Bloom on Suns Radio. P.J. Tucker got a piece of Devin Booker's left arm as he went up for the jumper. The question is, was it enough of a piece to call the foul there? Booker hit one free throw with 0.3 seconds left for a 128-127 victory. In the win, Chris Paul passed Magic Johnson for fifth on the all-time assist list.
That's Magic. That's Magic. You know what I mean? It'll never be another Magic. Showtime. You know what I mean? As a kid, you're trying to do these no-look passes. You know, Magic out there with the two big knee braces on. You know, just, I don't know, man. It's surreal.
Paul now has 10,145 career assists. Steph Curry hung 49 on the Sixers as the Warriors won in Philly 107-96. The Jazz beat the Lakers at Staples 111-97. The Wizards extended the Thunder losing streak to 11, 119-107. And the Nuggets fought off the Grizzlies 139-137 in double OT. Nikola Jokic improving that MVP resume with 47 points, 15 rebounds, and 8 assists. He'd be the first center to win MVP in 2 decades, so Jokic appreciates the attention.
I think there is a lot of bigs that that can do a lot of things on the court, especially in today's NBA. So I'm just glad that the world doesn't put bigs aside, you know. We are still popular.
No hug an NBA center today. Shaq was the last true center to win MVP. The Mavs have reportedly fired Director of Player Personnel Tony Ronzoni after receiving new info about a sexual assault accusation from 2019. A woman then said Ronzoni forced himself on her in his hotel room during the Vegas Summer League. The Mavs said at that moment he was keeping his job because there was no evidence of the assault. The Steelers just announced a 3-year extension for Mike Tomlin. He is now signed through 2024. He remains just their third head coach since 1969. And Gronk laughs. Patrick Mahomes said yesterday he feels ahead of schedule in his recovery from turf toe surgery. The Chiefs expect Mahomes to be 100% by training camp. The Dodgers losing back-to-back games for the first time this season, 4-3 in Seattle. and Mookie Betts took a pitch off his right forearm in the ninth inning. Dave Roberts wasn't sure postgame if Betts needed further testing. And from the NHL, the Lightning topped the Hurricanes 3-2 in overtime. Connor McDavid a goal and two assists. His Oilers beat the Canadiens 4-1. And Vegas won its seventh in a row, 3-2 in a shootout over the Sharks. San Jose's Patrick Marleau has now played the most games in NHL history, passing Gordie Howe. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. On a Trash Tuesday, Dranzito tweets, double trash. I'm trashing the American way of saying the customer is always right. Screw that. Most customers are bozos and mostly wrong. Secondly, Kraft macaroni and cheese instructions. 4 tablespoons of butter? Are you trying to kill my children before the age of 12? Trash them.
This must be garbage time.
Schwartz actually thinks that's not enough butter.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
One of the trashes today was from a listener that did not like that I interrupted Bogish during updates, but as I've mentioned before, it is set up as the structure of the show by the bosses to incorporate the updates into discussion topics, and so they want me and Bogues and Mraz to all continually interact about all these topics. Do you love when I interrupt him or hate it? 61% say they love it, but 39% say they hate it. So that's kind of tough to know that nearly 40% of our listeners hate when I do something specifically structured for the show, and I kind of understand that because I don't love it when other hosts do it, but Andrew Bogish, by the way, Advanced Analytics has done updates for 4 different shows of this time slot and 10 different total hosts.
Can't kill me, but everybody else can die.
CBS Sports Radio is a little bit like the Browns before Kevin Stefanski. We just keep kind of turning this time slot over.
Let's hope we're Stefanski.
Yeah, let's hope we're not Rob Chizinski.
Mike Pettine.
Mike Pettine. The bogeyman once handed out candy to important business people in the office in a bunny costume after losing a bet. And Andrew once also said his name wrong during an update.
I'm Andrew Bogus. Bogish.
Yep.
John has ruined me.
So glad Pete found it.
Well, I didn't know that. And that's an amazing clip because you're such a disciplined broadcaster. And yet you even mispronounced your own name once.
Yeah, I don't remember what that was, a John Feinstein moment. I don't know what he did before that to have me say John ruined me after I messed up my name, but I definitely messed up my name, and I definitely write my name in scripts now to make sure I say something, and in particular my correct name. Just to
I'm Andrew Bogus. Bogish.
Andrew Bogish is a pro.
Thank you, Jerome.
I'm Andrew Bogus.
That is awesome. John tweets, I'm trashing people that forget to pronounce the R in frustrated. Say it with me, folks. Frustrated. Trash them.
I smell rotten eggs.
Yeah, a lot of people say frustrated. By the way, when I used to cover Herm Edwards in Kansas City, he used the word frustrated. He would combine flustered and frustrated. I'm like, Coach, that's not a word. Frustrated? Frustrated? Zach tweets, I'm trashing my dog for eating her poop and then burping in my face.
Oh.
Trash.
Are those maggots?
Oh.
That's a tough one. That's a tough way to wake up. That'll singe the nostrils.
Does Danielle have that trash as well?
Danielle from Bayshore tweets, I'm trashing my husband for eating my dog's poop and then burping in my face.
Are those maggots?
Smitty tweets, I love you guys, but I'm trashing you all today. Get your heads out from between Mraz's moves and check out what the Lady Sooners softball team is doing. They are putting up gaudy records and deserve some coverage. Hashtag, can I get a beam up or I trash us?
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Admittedly, I am not up to speed on the Lady Sooner softball team, and I apologize on that. But I can tell you, without a scent of sarcasm, if I spent a segment talking about Oklahoma softball, I would immediately get reprimanded. I might get reprimanded right now for even reading this tweet. I beg of you to find a sports radio show not located in Norman, and even that radio show, it might be a stretch, and find a host that will give you time on Oklahoma women's softball. I mean, I don't know of the show. I don't know of the host. I don't know of the boss. So I apologize, but I think I would get into some real trouble.
Bogus almost gets in trouble giving NHL updates or the day he gave the WNBA draft updates.
No chance of getting an update.
I mean, sometimes Bogus just gives the NASCAR results. It's like, oh, why are you guys talking so much NASCAR? It's like he just told you who won. At the
six
Coca-Cola.
Words.
That's it. You want me to have a take on Sooner softball? That's a first. So earlier in the show, Mraz was defiant. The Yankees will be fine. Any criticisms are unwarranted. David Sampson, former Marlins president, had said that people are giving up on the Yankees season and that Mraz had absolute confidence the Yankees would be fine, so much so that he started oinking again as a piggy doodle dandy and agreed to a bet. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It sounds very piggy doodle dandy of you.
Great. Right. I'm here snorting around. I'll snort it all day long. May 15th. Piggy doodle dandy. I'm ready. Let's go.
Absolutely piggish. Okay. On May the 15th, the Yankees need to have one of the best records in baseball.
Good. Here I am. Give me the trough.
They're 5-10. 5-10, you've got absolutely piggish. You've got no evidence that this team is going to be one of the best in baseball.
Yes, they do. The roster, the fact that they've been there the last couple of years, the fact that they're about to play some terrible teams.
Sampson says it's a broken roster, that the roster stinks.
Yeah. They have some players that frustrate me. Aaron Hicks, Corey Kluber. I get it. The roster stinks. Oh, stop it. Stop it. If you knew anything about rosters being good, David Sampson, you wouldn't be doing a podcast right now. Get lost. And this is coming from somebody who does podcasts, all right? I understand what life comes to when you're doing podcasts.
It's on record. May the 15th, the Yankees will have one of the top three records in baseball. I think that would be a fair paraphrasing of what you said.
And if they do, I want everybody to do pig snorts on the air with me. One by one, everybody's going to do their big pig snort. Everybody joins in a big pig snorting circus. A honk here and a honk there.
But if the Yankees don't have a top three record in baseball on May the 15th, you have to wear a piggy tail, okay? A little squirrely piggy tail. And Danielle and Taylor have to pull your piggy tail on the show on video.
I do love kielbasa.
This has taken a turn, but okay, sure.
How about the full costume?
You've got to wear a pig nose and a piggy tail. And when Taylor and Danielle pull your piggy tail, you've got to oink.
Piggy doodle dandy. I'm ready.
On May the 15th, if the Yankees don't have a top three record in baseball.
All right. Seems like a weird fetish to want to watch, but okay.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I want Mraz's nickname to be Thick Cut Bacon. Yeah, where's Thick Cut? Thick Cut got that show sheet in yet?
Change sound check to Thick Cuts.
Yeah, that did take a weird, disturbing turn, but I think it's a good bet. May the 15th, we have this bet. And we also have the Patriots bet, which we will unveil maybe tomorrow or, I don't know, should we do that this week? Probably. We've got the details on that. We should probably unveil the details of when you're going to pay off the Patriot bet, right?
Yeah, I think we should get ready to go because we've got some loose ends to tie up once we become public, so let's go.
Okay, so we'll have to do that this week, and also really underrated line there from Mraz. I know what life is like when you're forced to do podcasts. It's G-Wiz, your Giants podcast, weekly on Odyssey Podcasts. That should be the open. I know what life has come to when you're forced to do podcasts.
Let's go!
The host of the Go-To Giants podcast. We will be taping the PGP after the show today, so you know what life has come to. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti, the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
I'll snort it all day long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.